This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith, corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Ruffled Feathers, your Two Birds on a Bat podcast, coming to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Pre or post game, Patios is the name to remember. Great times had at Patios as a great meeting place or a place to just watch the game if you don't have tickets. And, of course, to meet back up after the game for a great time. Music, fun, drinks, and all that goes with it. That's Patios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. I want to thank my good friend Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com for making our show possible as well. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy Green's a name you know and trust. 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman, man of his word. Great all-around guy that would love to take on your project. And don't forget his first responder and military discount for all those great people that take care of us out there. Show them your proper identification and receive 15% off your total project cost. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. Well, folks, spring training. Pitchers and catchers reporting. Picture this morning that I like to see. No doubt, who's the first person to arrive at the ballpark? Yadier Molina. Probably got a little, you know, I would say this guy's always had some critics to answer, but nothing like Yadi with a little chip on his shoulder. I think Yadi's probably seeing more and more stuff out there about how he's not getting any younger, and I think he is aware of his age. But I like a Yadi that has something to prove. Whether you do or not is up to you. That being said, I'll take him every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Excited about spring training, only for the simple fact of it just, it's baseball season. We've had, you know, we've had our Super Bowl done over. Awful halftime show, by the way. I love J-Lo, but I've seen some people say best halftime show ever. Give me a break. Come on, it wasn't any good. I could look at them all day long, but it wasn't any good. Number one. Number two, the XFL's happened, and I got to tell you, I enjoyed it. Let's get that out of the way. I enjoyed it. St. Louis, no doubt, had some good ratings. I would expect nothing less because St. Louis is probably going to support this a little more than usual just to show Mr. Kroenke and the NFL what a big mistake they made. So I'm sure they'll get some love. I hope they can sustain it because it looked fun to me, and I'd like to see it work. So we'll see what happens. But there's nothing like watching players walk into the locker room with the sun shining in Florida, the wind blowing in the background, Tommy Edman carrying 10 gloves, Yadi coming in with that look on his face, and seeing a guy like Matt Liberatore throwing his first bullpen of the year. Pretty good. Makes me know it's that time. You know what other time it is? It's time to welcome in my co-host, and who might have a few ruffled feathers, I don't know, judging by his tweet yesterday, is my good friend and yours, Ron Nuttall. Ron, what's going on?
Everything's going great, Jim, and you know, it is kind of cool to see the new players in the Cardinals red. You know, we you mentioned a few, but you know, seeing KK throw his first pitches there, I get to know him a little bit better. But yeah, so spring training's here, and actual baseball is happening, and you mentioned the XFL, the Battle Hawks, and you know, I didn't know what to think of this, but I'm with you, Tim, that I was actually entertained, and I think it's off to a pretty good start. But it's a, you know, good thing for the city to have professional football return.
Well, I can tell you that I enjoyed it, so that's that. But when it comes right down to it, I think St. Louis is gonna have a little extra something for Mr. Kroenke in the NFL, and I think that's gonna be a big part of it. But I was really getting at, I mean, number one, you've put everyone on notice that you're not doing any political posts. So you've let people know that that you want no political posts on your feed. Good luck with that. That's number one. Hell, the Cardinal groups can't keep political posts out of their damn Cardinal groups. It's like people want to mess with people. I don't understand why people do stuff like that, but whatever.
Yeah.
And also, you want to divide, like you want to get a fight going over this new playoff format, and I can't tell if you like it or you don't like it. So I don't know.
I think there's good and bad that comes with it, right?
I agree.
For the most part. You know, not everything on here is a terrible idea, but I kind of feel like some of it could go in a terrible direction. So I'm looking forward to talking about it. I'm curious to what you think.
It could. I think Trevor Bauer, who obviously, you know, is never one to mince words, I mean, completely destroyed Rob Manfred over it. I think, and again, I'm not going to speak for Trevor Bauer, but it sure looks to me like his biggest issue here is, and I agree, it's so dramatic of a change that it almost is like, well, how can we trick this thing up some more? Like, and I think it just gets you in an uproar over, look, you want to tweak something because it's good or whatever, that's fine, but does it have to be so dramatic? And I caution everyone that's listening to this to understand something here. Number one, when they went to the wild card thing, I hated it. Hated it. And I've said it before, here, I couldn't have been more wrong. Like, it's been great for baseball. The main reason it's been great for baseball is because it brought it changed the fact that once you got to a certain point in the season, it really almost seemed like there was only, I mean, a small handful of teams that had anything to play for. So it has enhanced the product, I believe, a lot. Now, that being said, you know, you can talk all day long about the winner take all game and all that kind of stuff, but it's good drama. Listen, it's great. Like it's awesome. I think it's fantastic. What they're proposing here is obviously a little more drastic, but I don't understand. Like I'm trying to figure out, other than if he's just saying, look, you're taking this to the extreme. Let's take some baby steps here, which again, if that's who you are, that's fine, whatever. But I don't know that there's a ton in here I don't like. Do you think, here, I'll let you speak for yourself. What do you think Mr. Bauer's probably the most unhappy about?
Boy, it's hard to really pin down what exactly it sounds like me, like it's very broad that he's, you know, it's a radical change, but it's, you know, it's, I don't know. It sounds like he's upset with the whole thing, and I think his issues probably with Manfred go beyond just what this playoff proposal is. It's probably, I think, a lot of his anger still derived from you know, not punishing the Astros players, for instance. He's not one to be quiet, but I think that just about anything that Manfred would lay out on the table, Trevor Bauer seems to have would take issue no matter what. So it's hard to say what he's specifically talking about here. Because you would have to think that, I mean, I'm guessing that if there's a better chance for players in the league to be able to make a playoff run, that this increases that opportunity. And so, I don't know, Jim. I don't know exactly what he's pointing at here. He's just an unhappy guy.
Okay. So this is a Cardinals show. So let's look at how something like this would affect the Cardinals. So I think on the surface, And you correct me anytime I'm wrong here, but it sure appears that the gist of it is right now, currently five teams, quote unquote, make the playoffs. Now there's some people that'll say, I don't consider the first game a playoff. I think it's a play in game. Okay. If that's what you can say that, that's fine. But for what they want, it works for them, because if the St. Louis Cardinals are in that one game playoff, we have major interest in it. It's a revenue maker and it keeps us interested. So it keeps us interested in our team those last few weeks of the season too, right? So there's a variety of reasons it all comes back to money. This has zero to do with this comes back to money. And yes, what's going to happen here is, according to this, is we're going to add two more of those teams. So now we're up to seven teams. Now, if the St. Louis Cardinals are looking at this, and some Cardinals, see, here's where some Cardinal fans might have issue. The St. Louis Cardinal fans might be going, holy shit, we're already dealing with a team that appears to just want to try to get in the playoffs. If you're going to make it even easier for them to get in the quote unquote playoffs, we're never going to sign anybody. But I don't know how that'll play out like that. Like, you wonder. So in that thing, and as it affects the Cardinals, my question to you, Ron, is, so if seven teams get in, you would look at the Cardinals and go, well, if seven teams would get in, and I didn't do any homework on this whatsoever, but I would, like, I think the Cardinals may have made the playoffs in some of these years where they didn't, right? The question becomes, so you sit here and go, well, this is great for the Cardinals then, unless you're one of these people that, well, no, it's not great because now they won't do anything and they just want to try to make that wild card game. Okay, whatever. But the bottom line is they'd be in. But,
yeah.
And here's the but. Because seven teams get in, do teams like the Pirates, do some of these other teams that essentially, and we've all said this, before the season starts have zero chance? I mean, you can say it's a fresh season, everybody's got a chance. No, they don't. Okay, like, that's a myth. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not a myth. I get it. Like, technically, yeah, they could major league this thing. But the truth is, they probably have no chance. If seven teams get in, does this change the business model for some of the teams across baseball? Or does it just up the ante for everybody services and it just generates more revenue? Like, to me, this is nothing more than a revenue generator.
I don't think you're wrong about that. Now, how does it impact the Cardinals? How does it impact other teams and what they may or may not do during a season when there's now, you know, almost half the National League is going to be there in the postseason, right? If you go to seven teams, and same with the American League. So, yeah, the chances are better. And I think none of us have had a great deal of time to really think all this through. So I'm giving you kind of just initial thoughts here. I think it could potentially eliminate the extremes on both ends. The teams that, let's just say that if they go all in and they do maybe more than what they needed to get there. But it also may eliminate those teams that just cash it in June or in July. And the risk, and I think where you're going with some of the fans that look at everything glass half empty, is, oh, great, now Mo's more, you know, incentivized to do nothing at the deadline or you know, not to pick up that extra piece that we needed to get us there, because now there's a greater chance that we can get in. I think it might encourage teams to put in a little bit more, maybe to spend just a bit more, because getting to the playoffs, and you're right, if it's about money, they have an incentive to try to get there. And if there's a greater chance, then maybe we see more action at the deadline. You know, maybe we see a lot more action in the off season. I don't know. And to me, it's like it's the positive to come out of it is it eliminates the extremes at both ends, and then everybody's got a little bit more of a chance to make it. Well, that's me looking at it in a positive way.
So I think some of the things, okay, and I agree. No issue with anything you said. I think I'm with you. So teams with best record in each league get wild card round buys. Okay, I got to tell you, I'm not real sure if I'm crazy about that, if I'm that team. I mean, who the hell wants to sit around in baseball? Like, that sucks. Now, I'm not stupid. If you got a guy that's nicked up or something, that's fine. And of course, like, you're sitting there with your rotation ready to go while the other team's rotations are all in a funk after a three-card series, winner take all. Or three game, I'm sorry, three card. I'm getting ready to go to gamble and play golf for a week, so I got gambling on my mind. So you're sitting there with your rotation ready to go. This team's rotation is shot. They're coming in behind the eight, whatever. Okay, I get that part of it. Here's where it goes off the rails a little bit that I think some of the guys would probably say, okay, so now records are a little bit out the window to some degree. So your two other division winners get to pick their wild card opponent, and then the top wild card team would play the team that is unpicked. Now, okay, that's a little tricky, right? Like, you're calling somebody out, basically, so that ought to be interesting, right? Like, that's a little tricky, which, you know, you can think whatever you want there. If it is what it is. The interesting part of this for me, and this is where it gets real interesting for me as far as something that intrigues me. Yes, you're going to play a three-game series. Yes, you're going to pick out your opponent, but you get all three games at home. That's pretty that's pretty interesting. Like yeah, we're in, but we got to go play a series in their stadium. And like pretty cool. And then, you know, I come full circle and I sit here and go, does this division, does this best record in the league get in the bye? Maybe it is a good thing because now they are sitting. Now I come back and go, well, they are sitting there with their rotation. And because of the three game series, so-and-so, to make that really work though, they're going to have to do this fast. So, like, you're not going to be able to take multiple days off and prepare for the postseason. Like, this three-game thing's got to happen right away. And yeah. then the next round's got to happen right away. It doesn't do any good. There is no advantage if you take a day or two, then play your three-game series, and then start it 2 days later. Like, it doesn't give you that advantage. So to make this thing work, it's got to be set up so that – and here, I'm just spitballing here. So if the Houston Astros are in that series and they have to go Verlander, you know, whatever, whoever winds up being their 2 and 3, right? So if they have to go that route, if Verlander throws game one and then Houston winds up winning the series and they have plenty of time so that whenever they play whoever, they come back with Verlander in game one, then the team that had the bye, it meant nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think, Jim, just when you mentioned the bye, I mean, how many times have we seen a team that had been off, you know, that ended their series, say, in the ALCS or NLCS, that they eliminated their opponent in four games, right? And then they sit around for a week and wait for the National League or the other league series to wrap up. How many times have we seen that where the team that's been off is a little flat? Because you're now facing a competitor that was in do-or-die mode, you know, so they're in a different gear than you are. I don't know. I'm not a fan of multiple days off like that. I understand that it happens. It happens kind of naturally, right, in some cases. But I don't know if I want to be that team idle for that period of time.
I don't like it. Now, I've heard this argument numerous times from other people, and sometimes – and I have heard players come out and go – yeah, well, you don't play. Let me tell you how important it is for our team to get a few days off. Okay. All right. Like, listen,
yeah, I get that too.
I've said it 100 times over. It's your league. It's your team. You're the pro. You know, whatever you say. Like, I obviously am wrong. You know, like, okay. It just doesn't feel right to me, but that's okay. Like, if that's where they want to go, no problem. I'm just being honest here. Like, I don't think, like, I hate to say this, but after discussing this with you for the better part of 15 minutes, I don't really think I care. The more I think about it, the more I really believe they're going to do what they want to do. There are numerous changes they're talking about making to baseball, which I do not like, that I think are crazy. But what this will tell you is, and I think people out there, I don't think they like change, right? But I think in the end, what this does have to tell some people is, behind the scenes, Major League Baseball obviously feels they have a problem, and that they better address it. And they're throwing shit against the wall right now and trying to figure out if something sticks. Now people can say, how can that be, Jim? They're making all this money. They're making, and I agree. Okay, but it's their business, and they see something coming down the road that they don't like. And that's otherwise, you know, like, I don't think anybody just changes everything just for the sake of change. I mean, I don't know, and I could be wrong, but, I mean, would you call the Major League Baseball playoff system stale? No, I don't think it's stale, but like, as I mentioned earlier, I have to be honest and say this. I did not like the wild card thing. I thought it was stupid, and I thought, why are they doing this? And I got to tell you, all it did was enhance and add intrigue, right? So it just added more. And again, we think about our city only. What about all the other cities that now are brought into the playoff fold, quote unquote? It's good for business. And ultimately, And again, maybe their business is great and they're like, well, it can always be better. So maybe that is their thing. Like, I don't know. But do you really in anything in life go, you know what? Let's just sit on it. Everything's going well. Let's not try to improve because things are going well. Well, that's a sure recipe for something to sneak up on you and bite you in the ass, right? In business, it is. So, okay. I don't know. And yeah. Again, I said it once, say it again. It's their league. This is what they want to do. Do it. If it works, they'll look like geniuses. If it doesn't, well, then they'll have to deal with it. But that's kind of where I'm at on it. I don't know what your final thoughts are on it.
Well, you know, I think what you said earlier is kind of where my initial reaction went, and that was, is it too much too fast, right? There are things about this that I kind of like, and that's what that's increasing the amount of teams that can get in. I'm not opposed to that. I don't know if I like the 3-game series, and I'll say that maybe more of a baby step would be, okay, so you have 4 wild card teams, and each of them, you know, they play one game. You know, over 2 days, they play a 1-game elimination game and then another one, and then you kick it off. Maybe that's only turns it down by a day, but maybe that's a little bit, I don't know. Let's not try to, you know, swallow the elephant in one bite here. Let's take one bite at a time. And picking your opponent, well, I don't know about that. I don't know why records just can't dictate who you play. I mean, I think I get it here, but I'm kind of with you that are you insulting who you pick and are you giving them a little ammo? You know, all that's subjective, but I don't know. At the end of the day, I'm not sure what, you know, as we as fans, sometimes we're looking at this year. We're looking at 2020. You know, in business that you just mentioned, you know, sometimes we're looking out and we have to look out 3 to 5 years, and baseball is obviously seeing the popularity in other sports. You know, the fact that, you know, all the National League playoff games are on a channel like TBS. Not that I'm disparaging TBS at all, but you can't even find those on national, you know, you can't even find those on the major networks, right? Not until it gets to the World Series. You have championship series that are on TBS. You know what? Though baseball may not have a money problem right now, I think it does suffer a little bit from a popularity problem. Again, another subjective thing is you look and you know, baseball's had a finger pointed at it, say, boy, your game, it's changed and it's a little more boring to watch. You know, this Easter famine approach at the plate. So there's a bit of a PR problem there. And I do think this is, I think this would create, there's parts of this that would create a buzz and would bring some excitement back. And I'm exactly with you on the wild card thing, Jim. I wasn't a fan of it in the beginning, but it has added some energy and some drama before the playoffs, before the division series really kick in. So I've grown to like them. I remember being opposed to interleague play at one point in time because, you know, kind of, you know, get off my lawn attitude about it. Don't mess with my game. But, you know, got over that in a season, right? Now we're used to the interleague action, and it's no big deal. I don't even think about it anymore.
Well, I think you and I are on the same page. I think the interesting part here, though, is that it's real easy to make Manfred, you know, public enemy number one, right? But we have a listener, and I'm, before I do all the other stuff, I'm going to go right away to the Patterson Tire and Service text line. Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store, and they'll remind you of that because they also specialize in automotive repair as well as being real quick to be able to give you a quote on tires or brakes by giving them a call at 618-797-6711. They're located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. Been in that community for a long, long time, been taking care of their own, and they're looking to expand their business out into the surrounding communities and let people know that it might be worth an extra 10-minute drive to come down there, be able to count on quality service, always competitive prices, and just a great atmosphere that you guys are going to enjoy getting to know the family. And it's just something about when you have an automobile that's worth so much money that when something's going on with it, that you feel like, you know what? I understand I'm going to have to pay to have it taken care of, but at least I want to feel good about the process, and I want to feel like I can trust the people that are doing it. You can do that at Patterson Tire and Service. As we always remind you, they're a whole lot more than a tire store. Okay, I saw this text come across this morning, and I thought, you know what? You and I have talked. Like, I love to take the other angle of things, whether I like it or not, because I always – try to realize that most people do things. You can disagree with it, but most people have some reasoning for why they do it. That's why I kind of said, like, I believe in my heart that baseball believes they have some sort of problem, right? That's why they're trying to address it. This listener, I think, really sums it up very well. I understand why this new playoff format is largely unpopular to fans. To be fair, most changes in baseball, However, I don't see how the current structure that essentially has 15 fan bases, completely hopeless by the trade deadline, is good for getting better ratings to a sport that is largely regional in the first place. Again, I understand the pushback, of course, and am in no way am I a Manfred approver. But it seems he is in a lose-lose situation here, and I know most fans don't care about ratings, but he has to. I think that's very well said. And again, while they're really addressing more of the ratings thing, which I think you touched on a little bit, like, what, you know, it sure looks like things are going well. The bottom line would sure tell you that things are going well. But this really kind of touches all the things we talked about. And I think in the end, I do believe that the biggest part of this, and they addressed it in this text, you know, you do. You essentially have 15 fan bases that I can't even imagine. It's been so long since we felt lost here. Now, you can be unhappy with the way things have went the last few years, right? Like, except for last year. But man, imagine being like so bad that by the All-Star break, you knew you had no chance. That goes on in a lot of places, folks, right? So I think the biggest thing here is that now the organizations have to buy into this. Right. So if they still approach it the same way and say, well, maybe we'll get lucky and be in that conversation. If they do that, then it's going to be the same fan basis to some degree. It'll just feel like some of these teams will just feel a little bit more comfortable about their place in the postseason. But if other teams get on board and say, we have an opportunity here and there's revenue to be made there for us personally, maybe they do get a little more aggressive. If more teams are aggressive, how does that affect trade deadlines? How does that affect free agent signings? Does it, in fact, there's all kinds of implications here. How does this affect the DH role in the National League, like to even out things on paper? Like, how does this, where does this go? So I think there is a lot to it. And I think this listener touching on the 15 fan bases that are completely hopeless by the trade deadline is a big part of what this is all about.
Yeah, I don't disagree. It was very well said. I think that's where my mind has kind of drifted to today. My initial reaction is, boy, I hate to see so many, you know, I hate to see it like open door to half the teams, you know, to be able to make it. But, you know, on the other hand, you mentioned it earlier too, like now you have the potential to bring playoff baseball to different cities that have more of a chance. And that's the good part of it. You know, look at some of the other look at the NHL. You know the NHL very well. A lot of teams get in playoffs.
Yep.
You know, baseball seems to be maybe a little bit behind there. And so initially I didn't like the thought of it, but you know, the more you think about it and you know, the more opinions I'm seeing on Twitter, there's people making some really good points. And I know that you know a lot of this news popped up yesterday. Normally I like to have a couple of days to kind of let this marinate and try to get wrap my brain around it. But I'm looking forward to guys like, you know, Derek Gould to see what he has to say about this by, you know, after he gets some time to think about it. But, no, very well said. And I think the positive to hold on to here is, you know, the opportunity is now greater. You're a fan base of Pittsburgh, you know, like you're not going to do anything this year, but down the road, you can kind of see a line of sight, perhaps.
Well, we're going to find out because, you know, one thing we know for sure with them is where there's smoke, there's fire, you know, like – there are certain things that are going to be a part of baseball sooner or later, whether we like them or not. And the fact that this has gotten, you know, the fact that that it's gotten to this far tells you that it's serious, you know, just like the strike zone stuff, just like everything else. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm curious about it, but I want to talk a little bit more. Well, wait a minute. Before we get off of this topic, how's the poll going on this?
I didn't really do a poll on
it. Oh, no, you did you did more of an, yeah.
Yeah. It was just throwing out an open up question. I didn't get a ton of response on this. And I sent it out kind of late last night. But, you know, I think it's a mixed bag of reactions. It's really everything that we've been talking about. You know, any rule or structure changes proposed by Major League Baseball, you know, you've got your one half of the fans that are against it, won't even listen to the argument. It's just like a political argument. If you're far left or far right, you're automatically, you know, you dispose of an idea coming from the other side. And so there's plenty of fans like that. And a few that are talking about what we're talking about today, about, you know, a greater opportunity for fan bases to get there in the postseason, a greater chance. And so it's really a mixed bag. So it was kind of an open-ended question, Jim, just opinions on some of these changes. a lot of folks just don't seem to like, you know, picking your own opponent. You know, numbers should do that. Win percentage can easily take care of that, or head to heads or whatever. But so it really is a mixed bag.
All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about spring training here, but before we touch on that a little bit, let's remind everybody where they can find us. TwoBirdsOnABat.com. Going to ask you when you get there to click subscribe to the podcast. Takes about 30 seconds, free, and happy to have you guys on board. You can also check out our Two Birds bloggers by clicking on their banner as well. They do great work, and I anticipate seeing much more work up once we get rolling here with spring training and then the start of the season. Of course, we'd ask you to interact with us on social media. Find us on Twitter at BirdsOnABatShow if you'd like us there. Follow our Twitter account there. Go to Facebook. We're always pushing our Facebook page. Two Birds on a Bat. Type it in. Once you find it, like the page. The pin post is always our latest show. If you guys could like it, comment on it, and share it, that helps us bring more people into our conversations. And it also makes the post more relevant, so it reaches more people. And that is a great thing for the show, and we appreciate it greatly. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram, and also as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio, streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com helps power the show as well. Missouri, located in Missouri and Illinois now, as big things are happening in Illinois. So if you're a youngster over in Illinois and you want to learn more about us, make sure you check it out. Big things happening over here. The program continues to grow as it really got going this year, and looking at a big building being added next year with a major league size infield and just all kinds of stuff happening over here. So we're very happy to keep the kids going, especially in the off season as they work on their game. But I would encourage everybody to check out their four pillar system, as it's second to none. You'll love the trainers. You'll love the atmosphere. It's just a great time. Great time to be a kid, that's for sure. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. DrKirstenJacobs.com. I'd like to remind you all, every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. With the baseball season upon us and everybody heading down to spring training, make sure you put on your sunscreen and take care of your skin. If you want to find out what she's about and her Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center, I encourage you to just type in drkirstenjacobs.com and learn more about what she can help you help yourself with. If I'm thinking of barbecue, I'm thinking of Adam's Smokehouse. Best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. You will not beat it. Located on Watson Road and open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Don't forget, I believe they're closed the first few days of this week. Taking care of some stuff in there. And I know I'm like, you're probably going, well, then what are you telling me about it for? It's making me want some barbecue. Hey, absence makes the heart grow fonder, folks. So make sure you guys get on over there as soon as they get back open. If you're not following them on Twitter, you should. Adam's Smokehouse. They'll let you know when they're back and ready to go. But the specials will be there. The ribs will always be there, and the atmosphere will be there. You could be in one of their zip codes that they deliver to. Don't forget big box lunch orders, and get them scheduled for your catering needs today. That's Adam Smokehouse. My good friend Mike and his staff do it better than anybody. Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. Okay, my friend. Spring training. It's in the air. Who is... I love... Like, some of these are great things. And this was on the Patterson Tire and Service text line, too. This is always my favorite. Who's in the best shape of their career? First person we hear that about when it comes to the Cardinals. Let's see. I'm trying to think. I would have to imagine that when it comes to the Cardinals, because you're going to have people questioning because of the age. They're going to talk about how Yachty looks. And then, obviously, I think people are going to wonder how Carlos Martinez looks. I think those are the two that probably have, like, what more can you say about guys like Harrison Bader and Tyler O'Neill? I mean, these guys are specimens, right? I think Dexter Fowler looks the exact same as he did when he, you know. So certain guys are just that way. But I think people are going to be curious about how Yachty looks because he's older. And, of course, I think people are going to be curious about Carlos. I don't know. Those are the two guys I'm waiting for the first tweets to see. He looks to be in the best shape of his career.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, but who looks in the best shape of their career? I mean, does anybody look like they're in better shape than Tyler O'Neill in the cage?
I
mean,
I don't know.
That'd be my answer. I don't know either. I haven't really heard anything regarding Carlos Martinez and his physical appearance. So I guess it remains to be seen.
You know, Jeff Jones, you know, he writes about the Cardinals and does, I think he does a nice job, and you can follow him on Twitter at JM Jones. You know, he's always, he tweeted something about an hour ago, and it just makes me, you know, listen, Matt Carpenter doesn't need me to defend him or apologize for him. Okay. And I say this by being honest and open and saying, I have zero problem with Matt Carpenter other than I'm ready to move on from him as a baseball player just because of what I think it does for our lineup and our in our roster. But the reality of it is, I've also said 1,000 times over, people do not like this guy for the wrong reasons. He's only ever done everything they've ever asked of him. Now, you cannot think he's any good, and you can think how easy it is to hit the ball the other way or lay down a whatever. You can think that's easy. That's fine. But the reality of it is, Jeff tweeted something out today that is so real and honest, and it says it's a picture of Jose Oquendo and Matt Carpenter out in left field, away from everybody. And it says, how rarely seen either of Jose Oquendo or Matt Carpenter without the other. And that's the truth. All this guy does is show up early every year. All he does is try to be the best player that he can be and help the Cardinals in the way that they want him to help. They've played this guy everywhere, and all he's ever done is tackle it and try to be the best he can be. You know, if you want to get on Matt Carpenter because, you know, we need him to be better at third, and he doesn't show up early, and Jose Oquendo's got to beg him to come out and take extra ground balls. Have you ever heard that about him? Nope. When he made the switch to first base, he was down early working at first base. When he made the switch to second, I'm not even sure the guy left floor. You know, all he's ever done is what people have asked him to do. That's what I love about spring training, is watching these guys who are the best in the world, mind you, the best in the world already, try to get better. Like, that's my favorite part of spring training. Like, I went to a spring training one time. It was far and away 100 times better than what I expected as a fan of the game. Forget the Cardinal thing. That was cool. It was great for my kids. But as a guy that loves to train and teach baseball to kids, like, watching what they do and how they do it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. It was so awesome.
Yeah. Anybody who hasn't gone, you know, when you only attend games, and I understand not everybody's going to be able to make it to Arizona or Florida. You know, when you only see games, these guys make it look really easy, right, Tim? And you really don't get a sense for how much work they actually put in until you attend one of these things. You know, it was always not rumored, but it's always voiced that you never really knew how good of a basketball player Michael Jordan was until you saw him at practice. And it was amazing. So, and, you know, I get kind of the same thing when you go to see the work they put in. They make it look really easy during the season, but they work their asses off to get there.
Yeah. I can tell you that there's no doubt in my mind that watching a guy who's already as good as can be at something try to get better is such an awesome thing for kids to see too, if they have aspirations of playing baseball at some level. Like, I get it, you know, and everybody's going to be a pro, of course. But kids, you know, of course they tell you they want to be a pro baseball player, but the truth of the matter is they just want to play, right?
Right.
I don't know, man. It's pretty cool. We can't get out of here today either without talking about a name. I mean, well, let's talk first about the shit show trade that went down with Boston and LA and how it affects the Cardinals, yeah. If it affects the Cardinals at all.
Right.
You know, people acting like LA didn't give up anything for Mookie Betts is like, so they gave up Alex Verdugo. I assume everybody wanted to give up Dylan Carlson for Mookie Betts, Dylan Carlson plus for Mookie Betts, and take on David Price's contract. Like, I guess that's what we wanted to do. Okay. So before you criticize, think about, take the other side of it and say, oh, well, I would have given up Dylan Carlson and another guy for 1 year of Mookie Betts. I had one guy say, well, I would have done it and then tried to sign him in the offseason. You're not signing him. They offered him 10 years, $300 million in Boston, where he's from, his organization. Okay? That's his club. 10 years, $300 million right now. No, I'd like 10 years, $420 million. And the guy's answer to me was, he's not getting $420 million. Oh, you might be right. He may not. But the Cardinals ain't paying him $300 million.
No.
So what's the difference?
Well, I think not everybody does it well. But, I mean, sometimes you just have to put things in context, right? Like, the Dodgers are one of the handful of organizations that could do that. The Dodgers are also in a position where they're at risk of, you know, being the Buffalo Bills equivalent to the World Series if they drop a fourth straight. They're all in, and they know they've got a window right now. It's not going to stay open forever. They needed to do something to push themselves over the top a little bit, right? I mean, and with that said, Boston's not stupid either. So, you know, they're paying down half of Price's salary to ship him as well, right, over to the Dodgers. So, you know, so if they didn't get their top prospect, they still got a pretty decent return, and they needed to get under the cap. I don't look at this, Jim. I'd really like to know if Kyle tomorrow has any more insight on some of these young players that got shipped, but I don't look at this as a fleecing.
Yeah, I think it is what it is. I think everybody got what they wanted here. Do the Dodgers have to have a young, a young stud prospect is great for them, but they're not constricted to where they're like, oh, we gotta get something. That's not how they're built. Yeah, it's nice.
Right.
You know, and let's face it, they've got a nice minor league system that they can fall back on by trading a guy like that. Like, you know, they're probably much more concerned with Lux and where his, you know, listen, here's the deal, man. Like, I understand that you get some once in a generational type talents that come along, but outfielders are a dime a dozen. I mean, the Cardinals just basically traded a guy that hit 3-something and 30-something bombs in AAA last year. For a guy that won't see the major leagues for at least a couple of years, probably, right? If at all, ever, right? We don't know what's going to happen, right? I mean, let's be frank, right? Like, infield prospects are way more valuable than outfield prospects. I don't care how good the outfielder is, right? So, again, Dylan Carlson means more to the Cardinals than Verdugo meant to the Dodgers for a variety of reasons. Right, like business models,
right,
approach, all those types of things. So I don't like, to me, it was what it was. I have no issue either way, really. What's that?
Yeah, and you look at your current club too, right? You got to put that in context. Like Dylan Carlson, you're right. I mean, more valuable to St. Louis right now based on just, you know, look what they have in their outfield. Look at what the Dodgers have in their outfield. Yeah, they have an MVP. So already, so I mean, you know, they didn't have the same need that the Cardinals have. And you know, financial model and all that stuff factors in as well.
I think there's, you know, 1,000 different ways to skin this cat, but the truth of the matter is, you know, the LA Dodgers probably felt pretty good about where they sat in context to the rest of baseball and their opportunities in the postseason. I'm sure they feel pretty damn good, right? Well, Mookie Betts probably makes them feel like, you know, we want to get over the hump, right? So I think a lot of it depends on where you're at, you know, and where you are. I've said it once, I'll say it again. You can't have enough guys that you can count on in a lineup, you know?
Yeah.
And anytime you feel that way, now people want to point out, well, you know, what's Mookie done in the postseason? Stuff like, okay, that's fine. Like, I get it. But, you know, I always say this too, you know, nobody wins one until they win one. Nobody hits well in the playoffs until they hit well. And then what do you do? Like, I've never understood that, you know, but that's fine. Like, we're always looking for a way to knock somebody, right? So,
sure.
I don't know. Like I said, of course I would have liked the Cardinals to get Mookie Betts. Of course I would have liked the Cardinals to trade for Mookie Betts and sign him to a 10-year contract for $300 million. But the Cardinals were not going to trade for Mookie Betts and sign him to a 10-year contract for $300 million for a variety of reasons. One, I don't know if the Cardinals will ever sign anybody to a 10-year contract for $300 million, as evidenced by the way they seem to do things. And two, right. I don't know that Mookie Betts would have signed a 10-year contract for $300 million. So we were behind the eight ball all the way on this one.
No, absolutely. And he's been pretty adamant public about it that, you know, he is going to test free agency. So that's not a risk that the Cardinals are likely to take.
Yeah, we will see. We will see. I mean, there's a lot of ways to skin that cat, only from the standpoint of there's money to be involved with guys like that. There's risk. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. And what do you do? Mm-hmm. You know, you better start developing some dudes and getting the best out of them for a few years and then figuring it out. I mean, I don't doubt for a minute that don't doubt for a minute that the Cardinals have a plan. Whether it works or not, I don't know. I mean, you need some things to go your way to win a World Series. We've all seen that. Unfortunately, we've all seen that you can cheat your way to one as well. You know, and is that fair or unfair? I don't know. Like they brought the Astros brought this problem on. I didn't bring it on. The Astros may have won the World Series without doing it. But the problem is since they did it, we don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah. You know? True. I mean, I've kind of felt that way the whole time about this. I'm like, gosh, this seemed like they were talented enough to not have to do anything like that. And they're getting sued now.
I know. What's your thoughts on that?
So, I don't know. I've read the headlines of the stories that I can't remember what the pitcher's name is, but, you know, he's pretty upset. I think he pitches for the Blue Jays or pitched for the Blue Jays last year. But, there's a Yankee pitcher, too, and his name's escaping me right now.
What a mess.
I can understand what
if this works.
It is a mess.
Imagine what's next. Fans, right? This is one of those deals that almost feels like, I hate to say this, but it almost feels like it almost feels as though like the legal community will find a way to squash this, because if they allow it to happen, and that's whether it's right or wrong, it's almost like if we allow this to happen, now what? Because it opens it up for everybody. It opens it up for fans. It opens it up for Vegas. I mean,
I crazy.
What happens if Vegas lost on those deals? I mean, like, you're really opening yourself up here.
Yeah, I know. And so I don't know what to think of it, to be honest. I mean, I understand why players get angry, but when I read they're filing a lawsuit, it's just like, okay, this is I don't know when the book is ever going to be closed on this story, but it's not going to be anytime soon. And now we're talking about the code breaker conspiracy as well. So that more of the Astros front office was actively, not front office, but the organization, the operation side of it, was way more actively involved than what we were told when the penalties were announced. So it's like you can't even, I don't think anybody could have wrote a script for a movie that was this messed up.
I'm watching a video of Tyler O'Neill swinging in the cage, and I got to tell you, as a guy that knows enough to be dangerous, I hate his swing. I just hate it.
Yeah.
But when you're that strong and that athletic, you can make a lot of things work that just seem a little out of whack. But that's fine.
You know, the stance I never understood, but it seemed to work for him well, with a player like Jeff Bagwell. I'm like, I don't know how that guy generated anything, being all, you know, squatted down that far with his legs so far apart. I just never got it, but it worked. So,
well, we know a lot more now than we used to, and staying behind the ball is key, and it allowed him to do so. So I don't know. Like I said, I will tell you this. I'd like to see that guy hit about 50 jacks this year, because it would certainly change the outlook of our team. It would change our lineup dramatically. I mean, it would do so much if somebody could step up and be a guy, you know?
Yeah.
It would be awesome to see. But we'll see. I don't know, man. Good stuff. I don't know how this affects the Cardinals in the long term. Does it change things? Well, of course it changes things if it's to happen. Now let's remind everybody, they haven't done anything yet. But if they were to do something, I mean, that's a big deal, man. Like, that's a big deal. That really changes things. It changes your sport. That's the other thing. And maybe that is what it is at the end of the day. But it does change your sport. Because right now, a select few get into the playoffs. A few more than used to, right? But I think they're at a point right now where it's been good for the game. Can it become a joke and tricked up? It can be. But I guess we'll see what happens. I don't know. Interesting.
Well, just to put the period on the end of that sentence, I think Derek Gould may have won Twitter last night with this post. I don't know if you saw this or not.
I did see it.
I love it. I mean, it made me laugh. Red Sox, phew, we finally completed a protracted trade of our best player. Things can't get weirder, right? Mets, we'd rather have a posh clubhouse empty for 6 months than have minor leaguers step foot in it. Try to top that absurdity. MLB, hold my beer.
Yeah.
That that one made me laugh last night. I had to retweet that one. And this guy's a lot funnier than what he comes off as sometimes.
Yeah, he is. I think he gets a bad rap, but whatever. I don't know, man. I'm pretty, I am fairly, what's the word? I'm fairly interested in everybody's take on this. I would say interested only because I am curious if people dismiss it just to dismiss it, or if they'll really look at it. And like our listener on the text line today said, he's kind of in a lose-lose because whether you like it or not, he's got a business to run. And sometimes those decisions, right, while affecting you, also affect a multi-billion-dollar business. So, you know, I get it to some degree. Doesn't mean I have to like it. I'm not going to like it just because they have to do it. But if it's better, if the game truly is better for it, okay, let's see what happens. Good stuff, though. Good stuff. Well, listen, man, enjoy you very much. Joining me today for our ruffled feather segment. Obviously, it's good stuff as always. Looking forward. I just given the fans a little heads up. You'll be taking over the airwaves on the Two Birds on a Bat Network in a couple weeks. I'm excited about that. As I'm gonna go try my best to play some golf and do a little gambling. So you're gonna be the man for a week in about 2 weeks. That's gonna be a fun time, eh?
Oh yeah, looking forward to it. Try not to mess it up too bad. Give me the keys of the car.
You can't mess this up. Let me tell you something. It just it just goes and goes and goes, whether it's good or bad. So you can't mess this up. But I'm excited about that. You'll have a good time with the crew. It's a great bunch of guys. Looking forward to continuing it. Tomorrow we'll have Bow Ties and Bullshit and get my friends Kyle and Mo on here, barring any unforeseen circumstances, and then back at it with everybody's favorite Spanish broadcaster, Benji Molina, on Thursday. It's going to do it for us here at Ruffled Feathers. We want to remind you to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the podcast. It's free. And check out our Two Birds bloggers there. Don't forget to find us on our social media sites, at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram and at lineupmediagroup.fm. You can also download Yo Radio on your mobile device today at lineupmediagroup.fm. You guys will love that streaming platform. To our partners, you heard me mention Randy Green with innovativecompanies.com. Nobody better. Residential, commercial, industrial, they've got you covered. That's innovativecompanies.com. As always, we come to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Special thanks to Adam Smokehouse, the best barbecue in St. Louis. Don't forget they are closed for a few days for renovations and just taking care of some in-house cleanup, but that is the best barbecue in St. Louis, folks. When it gets back open, I'm ready to head over there and get some myself. That's Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. DrKristenJacobs.com. Check it out. You guys won't be disappointed if there's something that you've been wanting to do for yourself. See what she offers. But don't forget her main thing that she reminds everybody every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. Take care of your skin. And, of course, to the Gators Baseball Academy, all these high school players getting ready to head to tryouts here in a couple weeks. Good luck to all of you. Located in Missouri and Illinois. Find out today if they've got something going on that can help your youngster. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. All of us here at Two Birds and a Bat and Ruffled Feathers leave you. Let's go, Birds!
Go, Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.